The scripture reading is Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We will read the whole chapter, and the text is the whole chapter. This takes place near the end of Daniel's life. By this time, now the Medes and Persians were the world power, and Darius was the ruler over the province of Babylon where Daniel lived. Daniel 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying, making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree, that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and brake all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so far do we read the holy and inspired word of God. May he bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Many of our government leaders are sinful, and they make sinful laws, and the sin is growing. It's been that way for a while. Already back in 1973, abortion was legalized in the United States, and in 2015, the Supreme Court ruled that all states must recognize same-sex marriages. Then in 2017, the House of Representatives passed the Equality Act. Now that's just been passed again 10 days ago, because when there's a new House of Representatives after an election, then those acts have to come to the floor again. And 10 days ago they passed the Equality Act again. Now this Equality Act, it outlaws discrimination based on race, religion, and sex. And now the new thing about this act is sex. That term includes gender identity and sexual orientation. So the result is that small businesses could face huge fines, could face lots of trouble, legal trouble, if they refuse to hire someone because they're homosexual or transgender. And there are no religious exemptions. So it certainly could have an effect not only on small businesses, but even upon the church. I understand that Equality Act has only been passed by the House of Representatives. And for it to become a law, it also has to be passed by the Senate and then approved by the President. But the very fact that it's been passed by the House of Representatives shows that's a huge step. So there have been sinful laws and there have been sinful decisions that have been made in our government. And we also now have a president and a vice president that seem to promote sin even more than those who came before them. President Biden and Vice President Harris both, they openly advocate for abortion. And President Biden has been called by many news outlets the most pro-LGBTQ president in history. His executive orders that he has made since he went into office have shown him to be very pro-LGBTQ. He even made an executive order that allows transgender people in schools to use the restroom of the gender that they identify with. It's one of the first things he did. Also, with a Democrat-controlled Senate, now that Equality Act can very easily get to the Senate floor. When the Republicans controlled Senate, then it was difficult, and that Equality Act never did reach the Senate floor, because the majority party in the Senate controls what comes. The Republicans didn't let it come. Now the Democrats control. That Equality Act we talked about may very well come to the Senate floor. It may very well be passed. And in addition to all of that, we've seen in the last year that many state governments are clearly willing to shut down churches quickly. but they allow people to do many other things. When we think about all that and the direction that our government seems to be heading in our country, when we think about that, we might ask the question, what will happen to us and what will happen to our children? The answer that Daniel 6 gives is very clear. And that answer is that Jehovah will preserve us under any form of government. Just as he preserved Daniel under a very wicked government in Babylon. Daniel was a prince in Babylon. Babylon was a nation that was located to the east of Judah between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And it became a world power around 612 B.C. In 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came with his armies to Judah. And he defeated Judah and he took out Jerusalem as well. He took many of the people captive, bringing the Jews captive with him to Babylon, took them out of their homes. Kids, that's what it means to be taken captive. He took the people out of their homes in Judah and brought them with him to Babylon, to a strange land. And he and his men, they gathered the smartest young boys from Judah to work in his palace. And one of those boys was Daniel. These smart young boys were those who grew up in the palace, either as children in the royal family or as children of the wise men who helped the king make decisions. And Nebuchadnezzar wanted these boys, who had received the best education in the palace, he wanted these boys to come work with him in the palace in Babylon, and they would be his helpers. As time went on, they would become more and more valuable in helping him rule his vast kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar, too, made it his goal to bring these boys to become Babylonians. He wanted them to worship the Babylonian gods, to learn and become immersed in the Babylonian culture. By the power of God, Daniel never did. God was preserving him. And God gave him a bright mind, too. God gave Daniel a very bright mind and made him very wise, so that the king found him to be 10 times better than the wise men in his realm. And Daniel gained a very high position in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar ruled for a time as the emperor of Babylon, really the world power. But Nebuchadnezzar died, and there were a few rulers after him. But that kingdom fell. That kingdom fell to the Medes and the Persians. The emperor of the Medes and Persians was Cyrus. And Cyrus appointed Darius to rule over the area of Babylon, over that province. And King Darius appointed certain men in Babylon to help him govern. And one of the men that he appointed to help him govern was Daniel. Daniel was much older by this time, but well respected in the empire. So Darius wanted his help. And understand, Darius appointed this godly man Daniel to help him in the rule of the kingdom. But Darius was a very wicked man. And the other princes that ruled under Darius were also very wicked men who were ruling in a wicked nation. Babylon is a type of the anti-Christian kingdom, according to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 verse 5 specifically calls the anti-Christian kingdom Babylon. Babylon had a wicked government, and it was really a picture of all the anti-Christian governments in history, and especially a picture of the anti-Christian government that is to come. As we will see today, God delivered. God preserved Daniel under that wicked form of government. And that shows us the wonderful truth that God also will deliver and preserve us under any form of government. He will be with us. And let's see that wonderful truth further tonight. Let's see that wonderful truth further under the theme, Daniel delivered from the lions and enemies. Daniel delivered from lions and enemies. First, the wicked plot. Second, the godly response, and third, the wondrous deliverance. So Daniel delivered from lions and enemies. First, the wicked plot. To understand the plot against Daniel, know that Daniel was placed above all the other princes and presidents in the land of Babylon. Daniel 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." Darius appointed 120 men to help him rule over the province of Babylon. And their duty, according to the end of verse 2, was to make sure that the king had no damage, meaning that they were to make sure that the king had no hurt. Their duty was to make sure that the king wasn't hurt financially, so they were to go and collect taxes. Their duty was to make sure that the king's reputation wasn't hurt, so they were to help him rule and rule with good order in the land. Over these 120 princes that were to help Darius rule, over those 120 were three presidents. Those three presidents were overseers of the 120 princes. They were to make sure the princes were doing their jobs. And the chief of those three presidents that were over the 120 princes, the chief was Daniel. So that the only person who had a higher position in all of the land of Babylon was Darius. Daniel was number two. Daniel was placed above all the other rulers because God had given Daniel a great measure of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Verse 3 begins by saying Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes. That phrase there means literally that he distinguished himself above those princes and presidents. The work that he did separated him from them. The way that he kept law and order, the way that he dealt with the people, the way that he even dealt with Darius showed that he was different. He separated himself from those others by his excellent work. And he was distinguished from the others because he had an excellent spirit, verse 3 tells us. And that word spirit in the King James Version translation isn't capitalized, but that word does there refer to the Holy Spirit. And that he was given an excellent spirit means that he was given a great measure of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit strengthened Daniel to glorify God in his work. So, Daniel, in his position, didn't show jealousy towards the ruler Darius. Instead of showing jealousy, Daniel was one who was faithful to the king, one who honored that one who was in authority over him. Daniel did not show hatred towards the other princes. In an environment in which those other princes were often showing hatred and jealousy towards the others, always wanting to get above the others, be the top one in the empire. That's what they always wanted. Everybody was looking to exalt himself. But Daniel didn't act like that. He sought the good of others. And he even showed love to the people. That was strange at a time when the rulers were often cruel to those below them. Daniel was kind. He had an excellent spirit, and Darius could see that. Darius could tell that something was different about Daniel, and he set Daniel up then as chief of the presidents. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us to live also in a godly way in the midst of a very wicked world. The men of the world today are really no different than the Babylonians. Men do not honor authority. Men are always seeking to get their way to the top. And even if that means that you speak badly about someone else and even slander others, whatever it takes, you do it to get to the top. But pray that the Holy Spirit would dwell in you richly, that you might live in a God-honoring way in the midst of a wicked world. Pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you to honor those who are in authority, whether that be your boss or whether that be the very government in our land now, a government that we maybe don't always agree with their decisions, but yet we are to honor them. Show respect. May the Spirit strengthen us for that. May we not be hateful and jealous towards others at school. Kids, think about that. Not being jealous towards those who maybe have something you don't, or maybe you're getting attention that you're not getting. May the Spirit strengthen you and all of us to love others, seeking their good. And pray that the Spirit would strengthen you for Jesus' sake. For He is the one, Jesus is the one who earned for us the gift of the Holy Spirit by His work at the cross. So may the Spirit strengthen us as He strengthened Daniel. Darius appointed Daniel as chief of the presidents, and the other presidents and princes responded by trying to get Daniel removed from his position. First, they tried to find him doing something that they could complain to Darius about. That was their first tactic. Verse 4 says the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. That means that they were trying to find something in his work that he wasn't doing well. They could find that particular area he was failing in, then talk to Darius about it and get Daniel down from that high position. They were jealous of him. They coveted his position. They wanted him removed from it. So they watched him. They watched him closely every day. They observed his work. They saw how he related to Darius, how he talked about Darius in private, they watched how he dealt with the people, how he even spoke to them personally as other princes in the kingdom. And they could find nothing wrong with him. They could find no fault. He showed love and he was wise. And when the world watches us, may they find the same thing. May they find us showing honor to those who are in authority with our words about our boss or about the government leaders in the land. May the world around us see us seeking to do good to others around us to the glory of our God's name. May they find us doing right by the power of the Spirit. After being unable to find fault with Daniel, these men came up with an evil plan to get Daniel into trouble with the king. Daniel 6 verse 5 says, "Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." These men could see that Daniel was a godly man, so they thought, we'll use that to try to get him in trouble. Verses 6 through 8 shows us what they did. They went to Darius and they said that all the presidents and all the princes in the kingdom, they wanted to make a decree or law. They said, "Darius, you tell everyone that they must not pray to anyone except you for the next 30 days. And if they do pray to anyone except you for the next 30 days, they will be thrown into the lion's den and ripped apart and destroyed." They proposed that law with every intention of getting Daniel killed. These men knew that Daniel faithfully prayed to his God and that he would do nothing else than that. These men knew that Daniel would keep praying. These men also knew that Darius was a proud man, and that Darius would hear this proposed law or decree, and he would want to sign it. He would think that's a great idea. Everyone should pray to me. These men also knew that once Darius signed it, there was no going back. It would be a law of the Medes and Persians, and the laws of the Medes and Persians couldn't be taken back. So even after Darius saw that this affected Daniel, who he liked, Darius wouldn't be able to take it back. It was an evil plot. And these men, these presidents and princes thought, we got them. Not sensing any of this, King Darius gladly signed that writing and the decree. If you prayed to anyone but Darius for the next 30 days, you were going to go to the lion's den. So these evil men had an evil plot against Daniel. But understand that the devil here had a plot against the church. The devil was using a wicked government to try to stomp out the worship of God in the empire. The devil wanted the people of Judah that were in Babylon to forget about God, to forget about Jehovah, and then not go back to the land of Judah where the Savior was supposed to be born. The devil, with this decree, was seeking to destroy the church. And it may very well be that the world comes up with plots against us in the near future as well. As we near the end, the world will come up with ways to say that the church member is bad for society and look for ways then to remove that church member from society. They will likely make plans to catch a minister or a church member speaking against certain sins and then label it as hate speech, call it a hate crime, and have that person silenced. That's already happening in some places in this world. The devil wants the church to be afraid. He wants them to be afraid and then renounce Jesus Christ. There were plots against Daniel and against the church. How did Daniel respond to these plots? Daniel responded in a godly way. His response was that he prayed. Think of that situation he was in. Think of it. Verse 10 tells us that he knew about the decree. If you prayed to anyone else besides Darius, you were going to the lion's den to be ripped apart by those lions. But Daniel also knew that God called him to pray to him and him alone. Not to Darius, not to anyone else, but to God alone. Daniel was also aware that the presidents and princes would be watching him and watching him ever so closely as those who were jealous of his position. He knew all of that. But verse 10 tells us what he did. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Daniel prayed in obedience to God. 2 Chronicles 6, verses 36 through 39. Those are verses in which God is speaking to Judah long before they were brought into captivity. But he told them that when they were brought into captivity, they were to face towards Jerusalem and continue to pray to him. Daniel knew about that. And Daniel obeyed God, even when men, even when the government told him he may not pray to Jehovah. Daniel obeyed God rather than men. And notice what Daniel did when he prayed. We read in verse 10 that he gave thanks before his God. Think of that. In his situation, what he was going through, threatened with death, Daniel gave thanks to God. Daniel, remember, was one who was praying towards Jerusalem. Daniel was praying towards Jerusalem, we read in verse 10, as one who knew the promise of the Savior. Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem where the temple had been, where the sacrifices were made. Sacrifices that pointed to Christ. So Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem, thinking about that promise of the Messiah. And he thanked God for that promise of the Messiah, the Savior from sin. Daniel thanked God for providing what he needed spiritually to fight against sin in the midst of a wicked kingdom. Daniel thanked God for providing what he needed physically. Oh yes, he had many needs, Daniel did, but he gave thanks to God. Verse 11 also says that he made supplication before his God, meaning he asked for help. Daniel was in a tough position. But Daniel prayed asking for strength. Asking for strength from God that he might continue to pray even when his life was threatened. That he might not renounce Jehovah God, but might continue to pray to Him and Him alone. Daniel didn't even try to hide his regular prayers, for he prayed with his windows open. What would we do if we were in Daniel's position? There are difficult times ahead for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. There are difficult times already now. And in many of those cases, really in all of them, it's much easier for us to say, I just want to obey God this time. It's not that big of a deal. It's just once. It's much easier just to disregard God's commandments. May we obey God. And when man tells us to do something contrary to God's commandments, may we obey God rather than man. May the Spirit strengthen us to do that. Now, what happened to Daniel because of his godly response? After moving Darius to make the decree, the presidents and princes assembled to catch Daniel in the act of praying to Jehovah. They went near to his open window, probably at morning time or at noon, right when they knew Daniel prayed. They went near to that open window. Maybe they went into the courtyard where Daniel's window faced. And they listened closely. They snuck up quietly. They listened. They heard him start to pray. Probably sent a man around back into the palace to run into Daniel's room and catch him in the act. Then they took their charge of disobedience to King Darius as soon as they possibly could. And you can imagine them gleefully going there, excitedly going there, because they were finally going to get rid of Daniel. When they came to the king, we read in verse 12, they right away said to him, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And Darius answered and said, "The thing is true." And you can imagine those men hardly being able to wait to get the next sentence out. And they say, "That Daniel..." Verse 13, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, or the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day." And when the king heard that, he was distraught. You read in verse 14, he was sore displeased with himself. The king liked Daniel. Daniel had a high position in the kingdom for a reason. And now he, Darius, he had been foolish and had been led to make a law by men who wanted Daniel's position, who were jealous of him. According to verse 14, Darius worked tirelessly the rest of the day to try to find some loophole, some way around this, so that he could keep Daniel from being tossed into that lion's den. But he couldn't find one. And those princes and presidents came to him towards the end of the day and they said, "Darius, this is a law of the Medes and Persians. It can't be altered. It can't be changed. This has to happen." And Darius knew it was true. So Darius called his servants. At around sundown, he called his servants to go get Daniel. And they brought Daniel before the king. And we read in verse 16, the king said unto him, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And that could be translated, "May he deliver thee." Those servants then took Daniel towards the den of lions, which was probably somewhere near the palace. That den of lions was probably a cave in the side of a hill. And there was an opening to that cave that you could seal shut with a stone. Then, if you went up the hill a little ways, there was an opening down into that cave, into the hill. There was an opening above that you could throw down food to those hungry lions. The servants took Daniel towards that lion's den. They threw him into the opening of it, the opening of that den or cave, and they sealed the door shut with a stone. They threw him down to ravenously hungry lions that they would often keep hungry for situations like this, so that the one who they deemed worthy of punishment would be eaten up, and eaten up quickly. They threw him to those ravenous lions. So Daniel was punished by the government for his godly response to a wicked decree. And certainly that kind of persecution will happen again to the church. We read in Revelation that will certainly happen during the days of the anti-Christian kingdom. Revelation 13 verse 15 says that at the end, as many as will not worship the beast should be killed. The one world anti-Christian government will hunt down those who believe in Jehovah, those who confess Christ. It'll put them to death. And you can see already how it's possible that they would hunt down Christians. You see the technology we have today, how easy it is to trace where people go and what they're doing. Well, you imagine several years from now what that technology will be like. They will be able to find Christians. Before that day, though, there will certainly be other wicked decrees made by the governments that believers will have to disobey in obedience to God. We can see the day coming where they refuse to allow believers to worship Jehovah God alone. We can see the day coming where they refuse to allow the minister to preach against certain sins. And the leaders that we have now, we can see that the day is coming quickly. The church is in the midst of enemies then. Daniel was in the midst of enemies too. The wonderful truth of the text is that God delivers and preserves His people. God gave a wondrous deliverance to Daniel. A wondrous deliverance from the lions. What happened after Daniel was thrown into that lion's den, to those hungry lions? Well, Darius, we know, went back to the palace in a state of gloom. He commanded that there would be no music played that night in the palace, and he himself didn't eat, and he couldn't sleep. As soon as morning came, he went to the den of lions, and he called out desperately, "O Daniel, is God able to deliver thee from the lions?" And you can imagine the amazement and the relief that swept over his face when he heard a voice return to him. And it was Daniel's voice. And Daniel cried out, "O King, live forever. My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me." The king was overjoyed. And he gave commandment to his servants to help Daniel up out of that pit. Maybe they threw a rope down through that hole at the top. Threw a rope down, and Daniel could grab under that rope and they pulled him up. But they got him out of there. And they first thing they did was examine him, see what he looked like. And verse 23 says that when they examined him, they found no manner of hurt. No manner of hurt. Not one bite mark, not even a scratch on him. Daniel had been delivered and preserved from these lions. And that deliverance, of course, was the miraculous work of God. Even Darius recognized that. This same one who wanted people to pray to him and him alone, even Darius recognized that this was the work of Daniel's God, Jehovah. Verse 27, he says that God hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And Daniel said in verse 22, "My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me."
truly miraculous. God shut the mouths of hungry lions so that they did not eat Daniel, did not even put one bite mark on him. And not only did God shut their mouths, but God must have made them calm like little pets. A lion is a brute beast. If a lion even pounced on Daniel, he could rip him apart with his strength. Not one scratch, not one bite mark, no manner of hurt was found upon him. What a miraculous thing. God shut the lion's mouths and made them like little pets in that lion's den. So God delivered Daniel. Delivered him miraculously, but the greatest miracle here of all was that God gave Daniel faith. God gave him faith. Verse 23b says, "So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Hebrews 11, a passage that speaks of the heroes of faith. It's certainly referring to Daniel in verse 33 when it says, "Who through faith shut the mouths of lions." Stopped the mouths of lions. Daniel certainly trusted in God. Remember that Daniel, when he prayed towards Jerusalem, where the temple had been, where the sacrifices were made. He prayed trusting in the Messiah for all of his salvation. Daniel trusted in God to deliver him from sin and from the devil for Jesus' sake. Daniel trusted in God to deliver him spiritually as he faced those evil men. He trusted in God to continue to give him strength to pray. Daniel trusted in God to take care of him as he was put in that den of lions. Imagine yourself in that den, and those dark lion eyes are looking at you in the bottom of that pit, and their huge bodies are brushing past you in the bottom of that pit, and their tails whisk back and forth and hit you as you stand there. But Daniel trusted in God to take care of him in the bottom of that pit. Miraculous. It wasn't that Daniel trusted in God in his own strength either. He never would have in his own strength. God, by His Holy Spirit, worked in Daniel to trust in God. And God delivered Daniel by giving him faith. God delivered him spiritually from the devil by giving him faith, so that he continued to trust in God, and trusting in God, continued to pray. God delivered Daniel from those evil princes by faith, so that even when those men said no more praying to Jehovah, Daniel continued to pray. He prayed as one who had been given faith. God delivered Daniel from the mouths of the lions by faith, and that was the great miracle here, that God gave him faith, for by faith he was delivered and preserved. And understand that God, by delivering Daniel, was also preserving his people in Babylon. Daniel was the protector of God's people in Babylon, the one who had influence in the government. And he was used by God to protect God's people during those years of captivity. It may very well have been Daniel who Cyrus had write that decree that allowed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and build the temple. Jehovah preserves his people. He preserved his people under that wicked form of government in Babylon. He preserves his people under any form of government, for he sees them in Christ his Son. God delivered Daniel wondrously, and God does the same thing for us. See that tonight. He does the same thing for us. We face great enemies like the devil. He's called a roaring lion in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. One whose dark eyes are upon us. And he wants to destroy us spiritually. He wants to bring us into unrepentant sin and make us to be lost in that sin. Continue on in unto death.
And he attacks harder and harder as we get closer to the end of history. We face the devil. We face evil men. The evil men that Daniel faced were pictures of the men that will be around at the time of the anti-Christian kingdom. As we get closer to the end, evil men will bring physical persecution upon the church, and they'll even kill. So we face great enemies, but the promise of Daniel 6 is that God delivers His people from those enemies. God, though, is not promising to deliver us New Testament believers from physically dying at the hands of wicked men or facing physical persecution. John the Baptist, for instance, he was murdered. The apostles, they were not delivered from physical persecution and physical death. They were martyrs. But God does promise deliverance from our enemies. Think about it. Even if we were killed tonight by wicked enemies of the church, where would we go? We would go to heaven. And for the rest of our lives here on this earth, God will continue to deliver us spiritually from those enemies. God will deliver us spiritually by giving to us faith. He will do that miraculous work in us, working in us faith. When the roaring lion attacks, for instance, when the roaring lion, the devil, attacks and tries to bring us away from God, God delivers us by giving us faith so that we continue to trust in Him and thus continue to pray. When the government makes sinful laws and even threatens us, God gives us faith so that we don't renounce Jesus Christ, but we confess His name and confess His name to the end. And no matter what government is over us, we believers and our covenant believing children, we will be preserved. We will not renounce Jesus Christ. We will confess His name forever. God delivers His people and preserves them by faith. What a miraculous thing that is when you think about what kind of persecution comes upon the church, and especially will come upon the church. You think about facing death for confessing Christ's name, being executed on the spot. I myself and you, we would never confess Jesus Christ into that situation. We would give in a second if left to ourselves. But God, the Almighty, the Sovereign God, He works in us faith. He delivers us by faith and preserves us by faith. Praise be to Him. God delivered Daniel from the lions and also delivered Daniel from those wicked enemies by having them thrown into the lion's den. That's how verse 24 ends. It says that all those men who made that plot against Daniel, they and their families and their wives, they were thrown into the den of lions. And the lions, we read, had the mastery over them. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So as those men were tossed in, the lions were jumping heavenward. And they had ripped them apart before those men had even, and their children had even touched the bottom of the den. And the worst part of it was not that these men went into the lion's den, but the worst part of it for them is that that lion's den was a passageway into hell where they faced everlasting torment. But in that way, Daniel was delivered from these wicked men. And God will punish all of the despisers of the church today too, delivering us finally and completely from all the enemies of the church. At the last day, Jesus Christ will return, and all the enemies of God's people will be judged, and they will be thrown into hell. They will no more be able to attack the church. But understand tonight, that's exactly where we would go to hell, without Jesus Christ.
But Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for the sins of us as people, to pay for the sins of believers. And on the basis of His work, that cross work, God gives to His people faith. And God delivers, and God preserves us as we face enemies. It's all on the basis of Christ's work, who took away our sins. So praise God for that work of deliverance, and praise God for sending Jesus Christ to pay for our sins. Looking upon that wondrous deliverance then, praise God in every aspect of life. Acknowledge Him as God, as Darius did. But go even beyond that. Do not just acknowledge Him as God, but praise Him. Darius simply acknowledged Jehovah as God after seeing the deliverance of Daniel. He wrote a decree unto all people, nations and languages in all the earth. And he said, in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God and steadfast forever. And His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Darius acknowledged Jehovah as God, but he did not acknowledge Jehovah as the only God. May we acknowledge Jehovah as the only God tonight. And as we think upon that wondrous deliverance and preservation that He does for us and our covenant children in Christ, as we think upon how we will go to the eternal kingdom in heaven one day soon, as we think upon all of that, may we praise Him. Praise Him in song in just a few moments. Praise Him in all of life this week and for the rest of our lives. What a God He is to us, a people so undeserving. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, Lord, we bow in humility before Thee. We are amazed at Thy work of deliverance, Thy work of preservation that Thou dost do for Thy church. That Thou dost give to us the gift of faith, that Thou dost deliver us by faith. So that even in the midst of very difficult circumstances, we continue to trust in Thee, and we continue to confess Christ's name. Lord, be with us and guide us. Thou art our strength. May we give Thee praise in response to the wonderful truth we have heard tonight. May we give Thee praise truly from the heart in all of life. Thou art worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.